Okay, page 64 in this Chumashim. We're out at Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk 17. Okay, the story is the four kings won over the five kings that captured Lait. Avram took a few of his servants, or Eliezer, or 318 people. He chased them, he threw the dirt at them, and it became with bows and arrows and all that stuff. And he got them all back, and he got Lait back. Okay? That's the story up to now. The king of Zdaim went out to meet him. After Avraham Avinu came back from conquering the Kedolah Emer and the kings were with him, El Emek Shaveh, in the place called Emek Shaveh, in the valley of Shaveh, which is called Emek HaMelech, which is the king's valley. But the Torah doesn't say, the Mephoshim point out, it doesn't say what he wasn't so grateful. Malki Tzedek, we'll soon see, was extremely grateful. The king of Zdaim was hardly grateful, the Mephoshim say, that he says, okay, big deal, I was also saved. Because he got stuck in the mud, and by miraculously he got out of the mud. So he said, okay, I'm also a big deal. Avram was saved, I was also miraculously saved. It's not a big deal, more than Avram. And as the Ramban writes, it doesn't say the king of Amora, or just Zdaim, because the Ramban writes, it seems that the king of Amora Taka was killed. So it was only the king of Zdaim that survived. Okay, now, Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem, it means like this. Malki Tzedek, everybody says, was Noach's son, Shem. He lived a very long time. Okay? It's 10 generations he's living. So Malki Tzedek was Shem, the son, the Gemara says, Medrash says, Targum says, that refers to Shem ben Noach. Why is he called Malki Tzedek? Because he was a king over a place called Tzedek. What is Tzedek? That would not tolerate any form of injustice, which means, by the way, Yerushalayim, as we'll soon explain. According to the Ramban, he ruled over the future site of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, he's called Malki Tzedek, the king of Tzedek. Number one, because Yerushalayim was a holy city, and it was the future place of the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore, he was called the king of the place Tzedek, Malki Tzedek, Tzedek, the holy place of Yerushalayim. Now, it's interesting, the Mephoshim point out, the Rabbah points out, but why didn't they just call him Shem? So he said, because all these names, all these kings, had nicknames. Remember, like Pari. All the kings of Egypt were Pari. All the kings of Bashan were called Oig. All the kings of Plishtim was called Avimelech. Therefore, you find in Chumash many times Pari in different historical times. Many times you have Avimelech, many historical times. It wasn't their name. That became their, the name they assumed when they became king was either Pari or Avimelech or Oig, or in this case, Malki Tzedek. So therefore, his real name was Shem ben Noach. Noach's son Shem. But he was known as Malki Tzedek because that's the where he was the king. Okay, now, Heitzi Lechem V'yoyin. Malki Tzedek, unlike the king of Zdaim, that was unappreciative, Malki Tzedek was very appreciative of what Avraham Avinu did. And then he came out to greet them with Lechem V'yayin, bread and wine. Okay, why did they bring out bread and wine? That was, the Mephoshim say, the custom was when people came back from battle, they were weary, they were hungry. So what did they bring out? Wine and bread. Lechem v'yayin. Which is an interesting thing. The Mephoshim point out that lechem, bread, is the necessities of life. Wine is the luxuries of life. So when he came back from battle, they would bring out Heitzi Lechem V'Yoyin and V'Hu Chayin L'Kel Ayin. He was a Kohen for God. Now I need to elaborate a little bit on this Melech Sholem. What do you mean he was the king of Sholem? So we said Sholem means, actually the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaChumash by the way, page 64. He was the king of Sholem. Now, Yerushalayim, we have today Yerushalayim, stands for two words. Yira Sholem. That's what Taisa says in Chulin. Yerushalayim is Yira Sholem, meaning complete level of fear. The ultimate level of fear. This, and Sholem means completeness. So Malki Tzedek, the Mefarshim, explained that so he said like this. Yira Avram, you know, after the Akedah, well, earlier in Chumash, but after the Akedah it says, he called the place Elohim Yira. You know the place that Avram Avinu brought Yitzchok up as the Akedah? The Rambam says was the place where the eventual Mizbeach was, and the Beis HaMikdash was exactly the place where the Mizbeach was, where they brought all the sacrifices and all that stuff. So Avram Avinu called the place V'yirch Hashem HaMakom Hashem Yira, Hashem Fear, and that's why here it says Shalem. See, Yerushalayim is a combination of Yira, Sholem, complete level of fear. That's the level of what Yerushalayim is. Now, because, and the Ramban says this, why is Yerushalayim, Jerusalem down here called Yerushalayim? Because it says that down here Yerushalayim coincides with the Yerushalayim in heaven. So because Yerushalayim in heaven represents the ultimate level of fear, so down here, Yerushalayim represents the ultimate level of fear. And therefore, Malki Tzedek was called Melech Sholem because he was Taka the king of Yerushalayim. And what's another interesting thing, the Mefarshim point say that who did Avraham Avinu kill? Shem's descendants. In this battle, four kings against the five kings, yeah? He killed Kedolah Omer and Nimrod. These are all descendants of Shem. And yet, Malki Tzedek, who is Shem ben Noach, wasn't upset that Avraham Avinu killed his descendants because he knew they were bad. And they deserved to die, and they did what they did, and therefore Hashem wasn't even upset. But not only wasn't he upset, he even brought out Lechem V'Yayin to show that he's really excited about what Avraham Avinu accomplished. He went to the yeshiva Shem V'Ever. That doesn't mean, I mean, you know what, I don't have the charts here, but in the first one, they have the chart exactly when it says there. Yeah, and there. And these chumashim, Shem and Yaakov overlap. Okay, because what page are you looking at of the chart?
53.
Yeah. Adam to Yaakov. So Shem died in the year 2158, and Yaakov was born in 2108. So 50 years Shem and Yaakov lived together. I'm sure they met each other. But Yaakov was 50 years old when Shem died. I understand. The fact that he was called Yeshiva Shem Ve'Eva doesn't mean that Shem was alive. No, that doesn't mean that he was alive. No, Yaakov Avinu went Taku when he was 63. And Shem died when Yaakov was 50. So this is 13 years. Like a lot of yeshivas today are called after the founders of the yeshiva.
Probably met anyway,
one beforehand.
I mean,
met. You went to yeshiva later with somebody. Met him. I'm sure Shaman, listen, it's okay. Now, vayivarcheil vayemar. He blessed him, meaning Shem blessed Avram, because he was a Kohen. He was a Kohen at that time. That's what it says. Hukein lekel elyon. He was a Kohen for Hashem. Okay, now, the Mefarshim explain, why did he bring up, what is the fact that he bringing out Lechem and Yayin, v'hu Kohen lekel elyon? So they say interesting thing. The Medrash says, what did they bring in the Beis HaMikdash? They poured wine on the Mizbeach, and they brought the showbread. Bread, right? They brought bread in the Beis HaMikdash. So, Malki Tzedek is bringing out wine and bread, which symbolizes the two things they had in the Beis HaMikdash. In addition to sacrifices, they had bread, the Lechem HaPanim, the showbread, and they had the libations of wine. And he was Kohen Lekel Elyon. Meaning, what does it mean? The Radak says, what does it mean? The Pasuk says, Kohen Lekel Elyon. He was not a god to idols. The shame was a big tzaddik. He didn't believe, he have idols. Kohen Lekel Elyon to Hashem himself. And therefore, he was different from all the other gods and the other Kohenim and the other priests and everything else. Okay.
But he wasn't like Avram.
Huh?
He was different to Avram, meaning Avram was unique in a certain way.
Yeah, Avram Avinu was unique. Avram Avinu was still greater than Shem. But from the people of his generation, Shem was from the holiest.
Right, but Shem didn't influence.
No. Shem was like his father. He didn't influence other people. Avram Avinu was the first one that went out. They were very great people, but they didn't do anything for the benefit of mankind. They didn't bring mankind closer. Yeah. Okay, so he blessed him and he said like this. Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon. Blessed is Avram. Okay. Of the Avram, the God of the Most High. Kenei Shemayim V'Ores, the one that makes heaven and earth. So what did he say? Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon. What did he basically say? Mefarshim explained that may Avram's influence the whole world. Kainei Shemayim V'Oretz, the God who created heaven and earth, meaning Avram Avinu, should influence heaven and earth and the entire world. Okay? And then he said, Baruch Kel Elyon. Blessed is God. And again, the Mefarshim point out that first he gave a bracha to Avram Avinu, thanking him for the war. And then he gave a thanks to Hashem. Okay? So first, Malki said a blessed Avram. By the way, it's an interesting thing. Kene normally means you acquire, a kinyan. Here the Pasuk says, and even in the Amidah, the Shemoneh Esrei, Kene HaKol doesn't mean God acquires everything. Kene HaKol means God made everything. Kene HaKol, like it says, Kene Shemayim V'Oretz, the maker of heaven and earth. We say, Okay, Avram, Okay, HaGodol, HaGibe, V'Aner, Kene HaKol means God made everything. Not only did he acquire everything, he actually made everything. And that was the Kene Shemayim V'Oretz, that he spread the word of Hashem of Kainu Shemayim Va'aretz. How did Avram Avinu do this? So we know the famous Medrash, which is brought down here again, that when people ate, he made them say, they said, okay, how much do we owe you? So he said, no, just say a benching, basically. So if they did it, fine, he didn't charge them. If they refused to bench, he would charge them a crazy exorbitant price for meat, and where do you find the stuff in the desert? But Avram Avinu, through that, actually spread the word of godliness all over the world. Avraham Avinu brought God not only from the heavens, in fact, later on, in Parshas Chayisoda, when Avraham went to look at Shidduch for Rivka, he sent Eliezer to go find the Shidduch for Yitzchak. So he said like this. First, he's using the expression Elokei Hashamayim, and then Elokei Haaretz. Before Avraham Avinu, God was only the God in heaven, because nobody believed in Hashem down here, except a few individuals. After Avraham Avinu, he actually created that everybody in the world wanted Shemayim Va'aretz.
So, do I have a question?
What?
About what you just said, it just seems so, like, not giving people, I guess, the time or to figure out themselves about Hashem. It's like, you assume that a person should recognize Hashem, and if not, you pay. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't even mean it all. You know, just do it. Do the act. You know, just say the words.
Okay, I'm going to paraphrase your question. Which is a very, I'm going to paraphrase the question, which is a very good question. If I force you to do something, and you do it, does that mean you believe in God? Okay, Avraham Avinu basically forced the people to bench. So what type of saying that Hashem exists and recognizing Hashem if they were forced to do it, correct? That is basically what your question is. Huh? No, but it's more than that. It's more than that. Remember, we learned there's a din in Halacha that says, the din is mentioned in a few places in Gemara. One place is about korbanos. The guy had to bring a sacrifice. He had an obligation to bring a sacrifice, and he refused. That because by korbanos it says lirat sainai, you have to bring him willingly. What happened if the guy didn't want to bring it? So the Gemara says Bezdin beat the guy up. He beat him up until he said I want to. Same thing in Hilchos Gittin. This is where the Rambam brings down the din that if somebody had to divorce his wife, that means it's mandatory for whatever reason the guy had to divorce his wife, and he refused to. So the din is kaifenaisa shemereitzani. He beat him up until he says, I want to do it. So the Rambam alludes to the question, what type of will is that? You're going to whip me until I say, yeah, that doesn't mean I want to do it. I don't want to do it. You're whipping me. What do you want me to do? Right? So the Rambam says a very profound statement, and this applies, by the way, to Jews and to Goyim, and therefore it applies here also. The Rambam says that every Jew wants to do what's right. By nature, every Jew wants to do what's right. The Rambam uses the expression Yitzrei Hara Onsoi. His Yitzrei Hara is forcing him to go against what the Jew really wants. Every Jew wants to connect. Every Jew really wants to connect. He doesn't want to. That's not him. It's his Yetzer Hara. So now when you beat up the Yetzer Hara, and the person says, I want to, that is the real person. Not what the Yetzer Hara says, I don't want to. It's a very profound concept. A Jew by nature, the Rambam says, based on the Gemara, because the Rambam is explaining why, otherwise the Gemara doesn't make sense. I had the Torah said it has to be willingly. I whip him until he says, I want to. That's not I want to. So the Rambam explains, every Jew wants to do what's right. One second. His Yetzer Hara is forcing him to go against his will. You beat up the Yetzer Hara, yes, then he really wants. Now, the same thing applies to a Goy in their seven mitzvahs. Every Goy wants to do what's right. They have a Yetzer Hara because they have free choice in their seven mitzvahs, right? Otherwise, you couldn't be rewarded in punishment. A guy in seven mitzvahs b'nei Neach has free choice to do it or not to do it. So therefore, every guy wants to do what's right. Every guy wanted to bless Hashem and do benching. To say thank you, Hashem. His Yetzirah came and forces him not to want to do it. So when Avraham Avinu made him pay this crazy price for food, and the guy said, okay, I want to, that's the real want to even of the guy. In their seven mitzvahs, which one of them is the recognition of Hashem. And that's how Avraham Avinu spread Yiddishkeit. But, as the Medrash explains, the Chassidus explains, there was no long-term effect on those people. After Avraham Avinu died, they didn't continue. It was Avraham Avinu's influence that kept them believing in God, you know, the nefesh that he made, Bechoron, and so on. After Avraham Avinu died, it didn't continue. So there was no permanency. Because to get ultimate permanency, it has to come from within, not from without, you know, from outside.
So what can we learn from that, then?
In which way do you want to learn? You learn a lot of things from this.
But I mean, if you're saying that for it to be permanent, it has to come...
Well, it means when a symbol... Well, number one, it means if a person says, I don't want to do something they have to do, it's not true. Right? Number one. Because a person wants to do what's right. If a person says, I don't want to do a mitzvah, I don't want to put on tefillin, I don't want to bench licht, I don't want to whatever... It's not them. It's the Yetzer Hara talking. And a different thing is, in order to have permanency and eternity, it has to permeate. It has to come from within. The beginning comes from above. But afterwards, the person has to do it themselves. Beginning of Chumash Vayikra, when the Torah speaks about sacrifices, which is called Karban. Why is it called Karban? From the word Karov, which means bringing the person closer to Hashem, right? Karban means you bring the person comes closer to Hashem. How does the whole parsha of Karbanis begin in Chumash? The first pasuk of Vayikra is, Vayikra Moshe. Hashem called Moshe. And then how does the second pasuk begin? Adam ki yakriv mikem karban Hashem. Okay, now it says Adam mikem. I'm sorry. It says Adam ki yakriv mikem karban Hashem. Simply, it means if you translate the pasuk loosely, means if a man from your midst will bring a karban. But then it should have said Adam mikem ki yakriv. If a person from your midst will bring the karban, the pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk says Adam ki yakriv. Mikem karban Hashem. Right? The word mikem is seemingly in the wrong place. So the Alter Rebbe explains what the pasuk is actually saying like this. Adam ki yakriv. If a person wants to become close to God, yeah? Mikem karban Hashem. It gotta come from you. It can come from external forces. But in order for a Jew to want to be closer to Hashem, there has to be Vayikra El Moshe. In other words, the ability to, not God doing it for us. That got to come from ourselves. But the ability and the power for a Jew on their own to become close to Hashem, that comes from Vayikra El Moshe, the power that Hashem calls every single Jew. Then the Torah says, I'm not doing it for you. I'm giving you the ability. Now you gotta do it yourself. There was this guy, Yehuda Avner, from Israel, big machir. He went into the Rebbe once, the Rebbe was saying about igniting his soul. Anyway, so at the end of his yechidah, he said to the Rebbe, did you ignite me? Did you ignite my soul? So the Rebbe said to him, I gave you the matches and the fuel, but to ignite it, you gotta do it yourself. I can tell you, I can guide you how to do it, but the bottom line is you gotta do it yourself. And that's the whole advantage. Yeah, Bezin would beat up the guy until he says, I want to, because that's what he really wants. But for it to have permanency and eternity, it really got to come ultimately from within. Because then it's coming from you, right? Something, a gift from above, easy come, easy go. It doesn't, there's no vessel for it. Okay, then he says like this.
We shouldn't wait for it to happen.
God is always calling the Jew.
Someone shouldn't wait till I feel I'm very close. You know, obviously, if someone
wants
to make an effort,
you know,
one shouldn't wait
till
to do the practical.
But that's the job of Moshe Rabbeinu, to wake up the Jews. By the way, I mean, I'm sure a lot of you know the story. Without going into the whole story, this Hasofa family in Australia, from in Sydney, Hasofa, the mathematician. You know the story of how they became from. You know the story. You know, guys, I told the story so many times. Okay, we'll say it briefly again, because it brings out a very interesting point of what we're bringing out here. They came from a Shomer Tzair kibbutz. They're in Tasmania. Okay? Okay, they lived in Sydney afterwards. When you were around, they lived in Sydney. But they're originally from Tasmania. They came from a Shomer Tzair kibbutz, totally irreligious kibbutz. Tasmania didn't have a shul. They had a meeting, a shul, like a one room. They didn't have a rabbi to guide them. They didn't even know how to read. So this couple, they came from Israel, so they knew how to read Hebrew. They weren't religious, they were anti-religious, but they knew how to read Hebrew. So the people in the shul said, can you do us a favor? We need somebody to lead the services. You guys can at least read Hebrew. We can't even do that. Maybe you'll lead the services. I said, okay, you know what? I mean, to help out another person, we'll do it. Help out the community. So they did it. After a while, they started saying to themselves, you know, if we're doing this, maybe we should get a little bit more involved. Maybe we should get more involved. And they prayed to Hashem. Hashem should send them somebody to teach them. Okay. The same time, Rabbi Chaim Gutnik then was in Sydney. He got a call from the Rebbe's office, go to Tasmania. No, who, what, why, where? Go to Tasmania. You know the way. Chabad Chassidim work. So, he went, he didn't ask him to call. The Rebbe, don't go to, he went to Tasmania. He's walking in the streets. He's walking in the streets. And the Hasofers see him. Okay, so he said, oh, Mamish, a gift sent from Hashem. To make a long story short, they became, you know, Lubavitch with full beard. He was a math professor in Sydney University. A long beard, a kapata, black hat. I mean, oh, I know the kids were in Yeshiva in Australia. Anyway, so she afterwards, when she used to tell over the story, she said, what is a Rebbe? I said, what is a Rebbe? That when a Jew sighs at the other end of the world, the Rebbe hears it. It's a very interesting concept. So what is the Rebbe? That when a Jew sighs at the other end of the world, the Rebbe hears it. Rabbi Elkan, when he told over the story, he said she was wrong. It's not that she sighed and the Rebbe heard it. It's the reverse. Why did she sigh? Because the Rebbe thought about it. It came from above. How does a Jew in the clear blue, out of the clear blue, give a, you know, a krecht, like they say in Yiddish, a sigh to become better? In Pirkei Avos it says, "B'chol yom basko yetzer me'archeiriv." There's a few different gemaras. It says the basko goes out from harachiriv, right? And okay, in Pidyovs, Elam, Labias, Melbaina, Shotera, woes to people that have embarrassed Tera. Another Gemara says, B'chol Yem Basku Yoitzim Harcherev, every day a voice comes out from Har Sinai, Harcherev, and says, Shuvah Banu Shevavim. Do Shuvah. So the question is, you ever hear it? No. Maybe you do. I don't. He doesn't. We don't hear it. So the question is, Mimanu Shevavim. What's the purpose of it? If Hashem says it, then we should hear it. Then if we're not hearing, why is he saying it? Right? So the answer is, the neshama hears it. The neshama hears that voice coming out from heaven. And that's why out of the clear blue, a neshama can come and all of a sudden decide to become a little bit better. Why? Because the neshama, the essence of the neshama heard that voice coming out from Martina. When it's not a literal voice, it's a power from above. And therefore, Korbanos begin by Yikrael Moshe. It got to come from above. But the main thing is Adam Ki Yaakov, you got to do it yourself. Otherwise it doesn't last. And that's why by Avraham Avinu, with all these types of people, where he forced them to do it, there was no permanency to it. There was no eternity to it. After a while, it just left. Okay. Okay, let's see what he says. So he says, Baruch Avram, Avram is blessed to Hashem, O maker of heaven and earth. O Baruch Kel Elyon, and blessed be Hashem, of the Most High, Hashem Migen Sarecho Biyadecho, who delivered your enemies in your hand. Vayitin Lemasa Mikul, and Avram gave Malki Tzedek 10% of everything that he brought. Because he was a Kohen, so he gave him Eisim. Now, what does this mean? He's blessing God. You know, it's very funny. You don't bless God. God doesn't need our blessings. Say, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God. God needs our blessings. Baruch means, like we learned, to bring down. Okay? By Rivka, it said, Vayavrecha Sagmalim. She made them kneel. She lowered the camels down. Birkayim are your knees. When you kneel, you go lower. You come down. Right? And Mavrecha Sagavim, the Mishnah says, you take a vine and put it into a wheat field. It becomes, it's called Kalayim, forbidden. So what happens over here? What happens over here is, Baruch Kelelyan means, and this is where Chassidus interprets it, and Mepharshim also similar to that, Baruch Kelelyan means the God of heaven should come down. Okay? It's a, the Chinuch says it's an acknowledgement of God's greatness, but the word actually, Baruch actually means to bring down, to bring down that level of godliness that delivered your enemies into your hand. That is a revelation of God. And that's why he's thanking Hashem. So Hashem is blessed, and the kingdom is blessed, everybody is blessed. Okay, but according to Chassidus, the concept of a bracha is much deeper than just a recognition of God. You see, God is a blessing, meaning you recognize in Hashem's greatness. It goes more than that. We're telling Hashem to come down. Baruch means come down. Like we say in a bracha, Baruch, Atah is the essence of Hashem above any names. Then Hashem, which is the infinite level of God, Elokeinu, the finite level of God, Melech Ha'olam, into the world. So what do we say when we make a bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem, we say, God, reveal yourself into the world, not only even to the infinite world, even into the finite world, and reveal your presence in the world. Now, what's interesting, we find Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov always tithed. You know we say in benching? K'mei Sheberches Aviseinu Avram Yitzchok Yaakov Bakol Mikol Kol. Okay? So, the simple meaning of benching, by the way, here it says by Avram Avinu Mikol, by Yitzchok, it says, what's the lashon of the bracha by Yitzchok? Vashem Berech Avram Bakol and Kol Yeshli Kol. But we find by Avram Yitzchok and Yaakov the expressions of Bakol, Mikol, Kol. So we say in benching, K'mei Sheberech Aviseinu, just like he blessed our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Bakal Mikol Kel, Ken Yavarach Eson, Hashem should bless us the same way. But the Mephashim say, By Yitzchok it says, V'achalti Mikol, when Esav brought him food, and then he said, V'achalti Mikol, and by Yaakov it says, Yeshli Kol. So by Avraham Avinu it says, V'itan Limaser Mikol. By Yitzchok it says, Bakol. And by Yaakov it says, Kol. So therefore, the Ovid said, and that's what the source of it is from here, at least Avraham Avinu's source, that he says, Bakol, V'itan Limaser Mikol. Everything Avraham Avinu had, by the way, at this time, he gave to Malki Tzedek. Tithing. Avraham Avinu tithed everything that he gave. In fact, he gave Ma'aser Rishon, Ma'aser Sheni, Ma'aser Ani, Ma'aser Behema. He gave all these various different blessings. Now, what did Avraham Avinu? We said already many times, the Ramban writes throughout Chumash Bereishis that Ma'aser Av is similar to Rabbanim. Whatever happened to the patriarchs, happened to the kids. Right? So therefore, by Avraham Avinu here giving Ma'aser, by tithing, this taught the children, eventually the Jewish people, similar bonim that they have to tithe. So therefore, they're also going to give Ma'aser to the Kohanim. Where did it start from? From the fact that Avraham Avinu did it. Now the question, what did he give Ma'aser from? So some of us should say only from the spoils of war. And some people say no, from everything that he owned. Everything he owned, he gave, Avraham Avinu gave Ma'aser. Okay, we'll leave it here.
Thank you. Well,